4, The Quest, page 377. The world weighs open before Savitri. At first, a strangeness of new brilliant scenes peopled her mind and kept her body's gaze. But as she moved across the changing earth, a deeper consciousness welled up in her. A citizen of many scenes and climes, each soil and country it had made its home. It took all clans and peoples for her own, till the whole destiny of mankind was hers. These unfamiliar spaces on her way were known and neighbors to a sense within. Landscapes recurred like lost forgotten fields, cities and rivers and plains her vision claimed like slow recurring memories in front. The stars at night were her past's brilliant friends, the winds murmured to her of ancient things, and she met nameless comrades loved by her once. All was a part of old forgotten selves. Vaguely or with a flash of sudden hints, her acts recalled a line of bygone power. Even her motion's purpose was not new. Traveller to a prefigured high event, she seemed to her remembering witness soul to trace again a journey often made. A guidance turned the dumb revolving wheels, and in the eager body of their speed, the dim-masked hooded godheads rode, who move, assigned to man immutably from his birth, receivers of the inner and outer law, at once the agents of his spirit's will and witnesses and executors of his fate. Inexorably faithful to their task, they hold his nature's sequence in their guard, carrying the unbroken thread old lives have spun. Attendance on his destiny's measured walk, leading to joys he has won and pains he has called, even in his casual steps they intervene. Nothing we think or do is void or vain. Each is an energy loosed and holds its course. The shadowy keepers of our deathless past have made our fate the child of our own acts, and from the furrows labored by our will, we reap the fruit of our forgotten deeds. But since unseen the tree that bore this fruit, and we live in a present, born from an unknown past, they seem but parts of a mechanic force, to a mechanic mind tied by earth's laws. Yet are they instruments of a will supreme, watched by a still, all-seeing eye above. A prescient architect of fate and chance, who builds our lives on a foreseen design, the meaning knows and consequence of each step, and watches the inferior stumbling powers. Upon her silent heights she was aware of a calm presence throned above her brows, who saw the goal and chose each fateful curve. It used the body for its pedestal, the eyes that wandered where its searchlight fires, the hands that held the reins, its living tools. All was the working of an ancient plan, a way proposed by an unerring guide. Across wide noons and glowing afternoons, she met with nature and with human forms and listened to the voices of the world. Driven from within, she followed her long road, mute in the luminous cavern of her heart, like a bright cloud through the resplendent day. At first, her path ran far through people tracks, admitted to the lion eye of states and theatres of the loud act of man, her carven chariot with its fretted wheels threaded through clamorous marts and sentinel towers, past figured gates and high dream-sculptured fronts and gardens hung in the sapphire of the skies, pillared assembly halls with armored guards, small fanes where one calm image watched man's life, and temples hewn as if by exiled gods to imitate their lost eternity. Often from gilded dusk to argent dawn, where jewel lamps flickered on frescoed walls and the stone lattice stared at moonlit boughs, half conscious of the tardy listening night, dimly she glided between banks of sleep, at rest in the slumbering palaces of kings. Hamlet and village saw the fate wane pass, homes of a life bent to the soil it ploughs for sustenance of its short and passing days, that transient keep their old repeated course, unchanging in the circle of a sky which alters not above our mortal toil. Away from this thinking creature's burden hours, to free and griefless spaces now she turned, not yet perturbed by human joys and fears. Here was the childhood of primeval earth, here timeless musings, large and glad and still, meant her forborne as yet to fill with cares, imperial acres of the eternal sower and wind-stirred grasslands winking in the sun. Or mid green musing of woods and rough-browed hills, in the groves murmurous bee-air humming wild, or past the long lapsing voice of silver floods, like a swift hope journeying among its dreams, hastened the chariot of the golden bride. Out of the world's immense and unhuman past, tracked memories and ageless remnants came, domains of light enfeoffed to antique calm, listened to the unaccustomed sound of hooves and large, immune, entangled silences, absorbed her into emerald secrecy and slow, hushed wizard nets of fiery bloom, environed with their colored snare, her wheels. The strong, importunate feet of time fell soft along these lonely ways, his titan pace forgotten and his stark and ruinous rounds. The inner ear that listens to solitude, leaning, self-wrapped, unboundedly could hear the rhythm of the intenser, wordless thought that gathers in the silence behind life, and this low, sweet, inarticulate voice of earth in the great passion of her sun-kissed trance ascended with its yearning undertone. Afar from the brute noise of clamorous needs, the quieted, all-seeking mind could feel at rest from its blind outwardness of will, the unwearied clasp of her mute patient love, and know for a soul the mother of our forms. This spirit stumbling in the fields of sense, this creature bruised in the mortar of the days, could find in her broad spaces of release. Not yet was a world all occupied by care. The bosom of our mother kept for us still her austere regions and her musing depths, her impersonal reaches, lonely and inspired, and the mightinesses of her rapture's haunts. Muse-lipped, she nursed her symbol mysteries and guarded for her pure-eyed sacraments the valley clefts between her breasts of joy, her mountain altars for the fires of dawn, and nuptial beaches where the ocean couched, and the huge chanting of her prophet woods. Fields had she of her solitary mirth, plains hushed and happy in the embrace of light, alone with the cry of birds and hue of flowers, and wildernesses of wonder lit by her moons and grey sear evenings kindling with the stars and dim movement in the night's infinitude. August, exulting in her Maker's eye, she felt her nearness to him in earth's breast, converse still with the light behind the veil, still communed with eternity beyond. A few and fit inhabitants she called to share the glad communion of her peace, the breath, the summit, were their natural home. The strong king sages, from their labor done, freed from the warrior tension of their task, came to her serene sessions in these wiles. The strife was over, the respite lay in front. Happy they lived with birds and beasts and flowers and sunlight and the rustle of the leaves, and heard the wild winds wandering in the night, muse with the stars in their mute constant ranks, and lodged in the mornings as in azure tents, and with the glory of the noons were one. Some deeper plunged from life's extended clasp, beckoned into a fiery privacy in the soul's unprofaned star-white recess, they sojourned with an ever-living bliss. A voice profound in the ecstasy and the hush, they heard, beheld an all-revealing light. All time-made difference they overcame. The world was fibered with their own heartstrings, close drawn to the heart that beats in every breast. They reached the one self in all through boundless love. Attuned to silence and to the world rhyme, they loosened the knot of the imprisoning mind. Achieved was the wide, untroubled witness gaze. Unsealed was nature's great spiritual eye. To the height of heights rose now their daily climb. Truth leaned to them from her supernal realm. Above them blazed eternity's mystic suns. Nameless, the austere ascetics without home, abandoning speech and motion and desire, aloof from creatures, sat absorbed alone, immaculate in tranquil heights of self, on concentrations, luminous, voiceless peaks, world naked hermits with their matted hair, immobile as the passionless great hills around them, grouped like thoughts of some vast mood awaiting the infinite's behest to end. The seers, attuned to the universal will, content in him who smiles behind earth's forms, abode ungrieved by the insistent days. About them, like green trees girdling a hill, young grave disciples, fashioned by their touch, trained to the simple act and conscious word, greatened within and grew to meet their heights. Far wandering seekers on the eternal's path brought to these quiet founts their spirit's thirst and spent the treasure of a silent hour, bathed in the purity of the mild gaze that uninsistent ruled them from its peace and by its influence found the ways of calm. The infants of the monarchy of the worlds, the heroic leaders of a coming time, king children nurtured in that spacious air, like lions gamboling in sky and sun, received half-consciously their godlike stamp. Formed in the type of the high thoughts they sang, they learn the wide magnificence of mood that makes us comrades of the cosmic urge, no longer chained to their small separate selves, plastic and firm beneath the eternal hand, met nature with a bold and friendly clasp and served in her the power that shapes her works. One soul to all and free from narrowing bonds, large like a continent of warm sunshine, in wide equality's impartial joy, these sages breathed for God's delight in things. Assisting the slow entries of the gods, sowing in young minds immortal thoughts they lived, taught the great truth to which man's race must rise, or opened the gates of freedom to a few. Imparting to our struggling world the light, they breathe like spirits from time's dull yoke released, comrades and vessels of the cosmic force, using a natural mastery like the sun's. Their speech, their silence was a help to earth. A magic happiness flowed from their touch. Oneness was sovereign in that sylvan peace. The wild beast joined in friendship with its prey, persuading the hatred and the strife to cease. The love that flows from the one mother's breast healed with their hearts the hard and wounded world. Others escape from the confines of thought to where mind motionless sleeps, waiting life's birth, and came back quivering with a nameless force, drunk with a wine of lightning in their cells. Intuitive knowledge, leaping into speech, seized, vibrant, kindling with the inspired word, hearing the subtle voice that clothes the heavens, carrying the splendor that has lit the suns, they sang infinity's names and deathless powers in meters that reflect the moving worlds, sight sound waves breaking from the soul's great deeps. Some lost to the person and his trip of thought in emotionless ocean of impersonal power, sat mighty, visioned with the infinite light, or comrades of the everlasting will, surveyed the plan of past and future time. Some winged like birds out of the cosmic sea and vanished into a bright and featureless vast. Some silent watched the universal dance or helped the world by world indifference. Some watched no more, merged in a lonely self, absorbed in the trance from which no soul returns, all the occult world lines forever closed, the chains of birth and person cast away. Some uncompanioned reached the ineffable. As floats a sunbeam through a shady place, the golden virgin in her carven car came gliding among meditation seats. Often in twilight, mid returning troops of cattle, thickening with their dust the shades, when the loud day had slipped below the verge, arriving in a peaceful hermit grove, she rested, drawing round her like a cloak its spirit of patient muse and potent prayer. Or near to a lion river's tawny mane and trees that worshipped on a praying shore, a domed and templed air's serene repose beckoned to her hurrying wheels to stay their speed. In the solemnity of a space that seemed a mind remembering ancient silences, where to the heart great bygone voices called, and the large liberty of brooding seers had left the long impress of their soul seen, awake in candid dawn or darkness moon, to the still touch inclined, the daughter of flame drank in hushed splendor between tranquil lids and felt the kinship of eternal calm. But morn broke in, reminding her of her quest, and from low rustic couch or mat she rose and went impelled on her unfinished way, and followed the fateful orbit of her life like a desire that questions silent gods, then passes star-like to some bright beyond. Thence to great solitary tract she came, where man was a passerby towards human scenes, or soul in nature's vastness strove to live and called for help to ensouled invisible powers. Overwhelmed by the immensity of his world and unaware of his own infinity, the earth multiplied to her a changing brow and called her with a far and nameless voice. The mountains in their anchorite solitude, the forests with their multitudinous chant, disclosed to her the masked divinity's doors. On dreaming plains and indolent expanse, the deathbed of a pale enchanted eve under the glamour of a sunken sky. Impassive she lay as at an age's end, or crossed an eager pack of huddled hills, lifting their heads to hunt a lair-like sky, or travelled in a strange and empty land where desolate summits camped in a weird heaven, mute sentinels beneath a drifting moon, or wandered in some lone, tremendous wood, ringing forever with the cricket's cry, or followed a long, glistening serpent road through fields and pastures lapped in moveless light, or reached the wild beauty of a desert space where never plough was driven, nor herd had grazed, and slumbered upon stripped and thirsty sands amid the savage wild beast night's appeal. Still unaccomplished was the fateful quest. Still she found not the one predestined face for which she sought amid the sons of men. A grandiose silence wrapped the regal day. The months had fed the passion of the sun, and now his burning breath assailed the soil. The tiger heats prowled through the fainting earth. All was licked up as by a lolling tongue. The spring winds failed, the sky was set like bronze. End of Canto 4. End of Book 4.